And certainly that is what we need to do this morning, is to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in His face, and allow the things of this earth to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I think sometimes this world shines its light in our face, and we let it crowd out the light of Jesus. Sometimes we listen to the news of the day, and we see the events of the day. And sometimes we forget that the one who is truly in charge of all these events and everything that's going on in the world is the God that we worship and serve, and the God that loves us and that gave His Son to die on the cross for us, so that we wouldn't have to face eternity alone or eternity without Him. And we wouldn't have to face eternity in a hell separated from Him. He has done everything He can to help us cope with the world that we have around us. And many times the reason that we fail to cope is because we don't look to Jesus. We don't look into His face. This morning we're going to end the year of 2023 by celebrating the Lord's Supper, celebrating the fact that Jesus gave His body for us, the fact that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for us. Sometimes I think we're guilty of doing this so often that we don't think about the meaning and the sacredness of it. There's nothing about doing this that saves us, that gives us grace. What we're really doing this morning is we're coming to celebrate grace that we have already received through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross. You see, we're not saved by the symbolism of the juice or the symbolism of the bread. We're saved by the actual shedding of the blood of Jesus and the actual giving of His body for us on the cross. And we celebrate what He did for us that day 2,000 years ago. We don't come here to celebrate some sentimental observance of something that we can just feel good about ourselves when we walk out, but we've actually come to experience the presence of Jesus. Not in the bread or in the juice, but as symbols, we experience that presence that is already inside of us because we've placed our faith and trust in Him. He is with us. This is a sacred time, a very special time, a time that we need to take seriously. And sometimes I know, at least for me, I do not come to the Lord's Supper table with that level of devotion, that level of sacredness that I need to. And I hope this morning that we can all come to this time with this understanding that what we're about to celebrate is sacred and special and unique. Observing the Lord's Supper is sacred for five reasons I've shared with you on the little sheet of paper in our bulletin. Lord's Supper reflects Christ's incredible sacrifice and suffering to redeem us. As we come to the table, as we take the bread and take the juice, let's not forget that this represents the suffering that Jesus went through for us on the cross, and it represents the sacrifice that He gave for us on the cross, where He gave His life for ours, and He offers His righteousness for our unrighteousness, and in return, He has taken His sin upon Himself, and we have been redeemed. As we come this morning to partake of this special Lord's Supper, that's what we need to remember. That's what we need to reflect on. That Jesus Christ did something for us that no other person has ever done for us, and that is He sacrificed Himself on the cross, and He suffered incomprehensibly for us. Jesus said it well, that there are some people who would dare die for us. We always talk about the ultimate sacrifice that many have made for our nation and for us and on battlefields and in different situations and circumstances. But Jesus' death was different in a whole new way than those deaths, because in Jesus' death, it was a perfect man dying for an imperfect world, and it was a world in search of a Savior, discovering a Savior on a cross, willing to go to the ultimate extreme of giving His life for us to save us. So as we come this morning to this special time, let's come understanding and reflecting on the fact that Christ sacrificed Himself for us, and He suffered like no man has ever suffered for us, so that we would be redeemed. Also, as we come to the Lord's Supper table, it's sacred because it represents a new covenant. A new covenant. God was saying through Jesus on the cross, I want to make a new agreement with you. Because the others, wasn't it that the others didn't work? It's just that the others just could not go far enough. And now I want to show you the once and for all covenant. The covenant of my Son's blood. The covenant that no longer depends on you and what you can do, but it totally depends on me and what I have decided to do for you through my Son Jesus on the cross. It's not about your merit and about how hard you can work, but it's about my grace and whether you're willing to receive it and accept it as a gift. You see, really what we're doing this morning when we come to the Lord's Supper table, we think of the cross and we think of His broken body. We're celebrating the fact that He died for us, but really what we are celebrating is we're celebrating the grace of God. Because all of what Jesus did there at Calvary illustrates for us and shows us God's redeeming grace, God's saving grace. And so we come this morning as we take the juice and as we take the bread, and we're celebrating the grace of God. The grace of God. It's a new covenant. It's a new agreement. God never goes back on His covenants. He adds to them and He supersedes them. This time He superseded all the other covenants by the covenant of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a sacred time because we're celebrating the grace of God. It's also a sacred time because it's our way of coming and gathering around the Lord's Supper table and understanding and professing and letting everyone know that we fully identify with Jesus and each other. Another way to look at this is we come around the Lord's Supper table, we're coming to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. It is a together event. It is an event where we come together as other believers and we celebrate the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus. He is our Savior. And we also have a relationship with each other. And the Lord's Supper helps us to see how important both of those things are. We fully identify with Jesus at this table. We fully identify with the fact that He died for us and that He saved us and that He lives in us and that one day He will come for us. One day we will either go to be with Him in heaven because our earthly bodies have worn out and given up, or we will be caught up together with Him in the air and be with Him forever. The Lord's Supper is the time that we come together and we publicly profess our full identity with Jesus and each other. So this morning as we come to the Lord's Supper table, that's why we put an emphasis on the fact that we need to come with pure hearts, with up-to-date relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And also, we come to the table with relationships between each other as right as possible. As we look around and we think about our relationship with each other, we want to make sure that our relationship with other believers is right, in right order. Because it's a time to profess our identity with Jesus and each other. Also, the Lord's Supper calls for us to understand that above everything else, we need to make sure that we are a loving, unified body. Coming around the Lord's Supper table is a way that we say, you know, there's only one thing that really matters about unity. It's not my favorite color. It's not what I like about the church carpet or which side of the auditorium the organ is on, or it's not whether I like the pastor or not, or the elders or not, or whether I like the person that's sitting next to me. No, there is one thing that matters when we come to the Lord's Supper table, and that is, where am I with Jesus? Jesus is the only thing that matters. And really, when you come right down to it, when it comes to us being unified and loving as a congregation, really, Jesus is the only one that really matters. I think of the disciples that Jesus called to himself. Those 12 men came from various different backgrounds. They had different political opinions. They had different things they would like to see done to the Roman Empire. They had different ideas of what they'd like to see the Messiah do. Some were hot-tempered, some were calm. Some were peacemakers, others were looking for a fight. They were a ragtag group of fishermen and tax collectors. They knew what it was, many of them, to be hated by their peers and unloved. Many of them knew what it meant to be looked down upon. How could those 12 men love each other? How could they get along with each other? Sometimes they didn't. They had their times of becoming exasperated with one another. And we see that in the New Testament. But what was the defining thing about their unity? It wasn't the fact that they just decided to submerge all of their interests and just get along with each other. No, it was because they had discovered a man that made the rest of their differences extinct. They discovered a man that when they looked at him, their problems with Peter or Bartholomew or Andrew, their personality problems went away, and they looked only to Jesus, and they united themselves around that one person, Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus, and they loved each other. I went to a church one time who in the community had just gone through a coal strike. Well, you know, I'd always been a preacher. I didn't know about strikes and unions and all of that kind of thing. All I knew was about the church. And many of my mentors tried to warn me. They said, now, Garvin, you're going to have to be careful going to that church because those people, you've got union people in the church there, and you've got management in the church, and you've got people who are of neither, and they've just gone through a coal strike, and it's been very divisive in the community, divisive in the church, and you just need to be careful when you go in there to understand what you're getting yourself into. And I told them, I said, you don't understand. I understand. And really what I thought would happen is when I got to the church, I would love them and they would all love me. Neither one of those things happened. Where what I should have been looking for is, let's just all love Jesus. Let's let the union be the union. Let the management be the management. Let everybody be whatever they want to be. But let's just focus our attention on Jesus. Don't focus it on me. Let's not focus it on each other. We need to understand that when we come to the Lord's Supper table, it's another way for us to redefine our unity, that it's not a unity around our likes and dislikes and our preferences, but it's a unity that is centered around the person of Jesus Christ. So really, as we come to the Lord's Supper table, I hope you look today as it is an opportunity for all of us to come and gather around Jesus and all that he's done for us. And this time is sacred and special because the Lord's Supper directly reflects the glory of God who gave himself to reach a lost world. We're not coming to the Lord's Supper table to just make us feel good. We're not coming to the Lord's Supper table just to have that inner squeegee type feeling as we leave and say, well, we can check that off our list till the next end of the month. It's certainly not for the taste and quality of the wafers. You'll discover that. No, you see, there has to be more than that when we come to Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is more than just what it does for us. We have to understand that as we come to the Lord's Supper table, it should also be a time when we are motivated by the grace of God to share the grace of God with others who need to hear about the grace of God. As you come to the Lord's Supper table, think about those who cannot come today, those who don't even see the importance of it, those who don't even recognize that there was a Savior. They are a sinner in need of a Savior, and this Savior has died for them. But they need to hear about it. They need to hear about it again. They not only need to hear about it from us, but they need to see about it. They need to see it in us. And the Lord's Supper is again an opportunity to come and thank God that in His glory He has made this known to you and I. And now, Father, help us leave from this table and make it known to those who have not heard and have not accepted yet. You see, sometimes coming to the Lord's Supper table can be the most evangelistic thing we can do to motivate us to share Him and share the message of the shed blood and the broken body with others. It's sacred because of that. And may we, as we gather around the Lord's Supper table this morning, understand that kind of specialness that the Lord's Supper has. And as we celebrate what Jesus has done for us, let's pray that more people will experience what He's done for us and open their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our men to come forward as we prepare to share the Lord's Supper.